Today with Clare Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
On tomorrow's programme, we'll be joined here by employment solicitor Richard Grogan, and he'll be here to answer your questions on anything from remote working to out-of-hours phone calls and emails, or indeed sick leave, or any employment issues that you have questions about. And if you want to get those questions into us in advance, you can email us now, todaycb@rte.ie. That's Richard Grogan, who'll be here tomorrow. Now, a question for you. What was the most important event you've ever planned? Was it your 30th birthday, your wedding? Would you put the same energy into planning your own funeral? Death, of course, isn't the easiest topic to discuss, but more and more people are taking control of their own funeral plans in an effort to make sure that it's done in the way that they want it and to save their loved ones the stress of organising the entire event. I'm joined by Kate Tim, who's co-founder of the Coffin Club, and Mary Cuniff, who's a funeral director with Massey Brothers and board member of the Irish Association of Funeral Directors. You're both very welcome. Thank you for being with us today. Kate, I'm going to come to you first because you're co-founder of the Coffin Club in the UK. What is it?
Yes. Well, thank you for asking. It's an educational platform that basically is to inform people of all the choices they have for their end of life celebrations / funeral / perfect send off / final farewell, mainly so that people don't end up channeled into having, you know, either church or crematorium. Nothing wrong with that, but we want them to know that other things exist so that they're not just channeled into doing it because they don't know that there's any other way.
And what kind of people become members of the Coffin Clubs? Why are they there? What interests them?
So people come to Coffin Club for myriad different reasons. We'll usually have one person who is terminally ill, so obviously that's very relevant to them at that point in time. We might have people who've just had experience of organising a funeral, be it for mum or dad or possibly a sibling, and they've somehow found the experience unsatisfactory. They kind of want to take more ownership of it. So they come along for that reason. It might be people who are getting into the final part of their life and they're suddenly thinking, I've avoided thinking about this for 3/4 of my life, but maybe now, you know, the time has come to take my head out of the sand. I don't want to leave my kids not knowing what I want. So I better get my ducks in a row.
Mary, I know you feel really passionately about this. And as I said, you've worked as a funeral director for many years. It is such a stressful time for families, isn't it? To try and plan this and think, well, what did mammy or daddy want? Yeah.
It is, Claire, and really and truly, I've been championing pre-need and pre-arranging for over 20 years now, and I see firsthand when I sit in front of a family or meet a family in a, you know, family room at a, in a hospital or hospice or around their own kitchen table at home, the emotional strain they're under and the difficulty it is to make a decision, a right decision at that time as to what mum or dad or a sibling indeed for that matter or a child, what is the right decision to do here and what's the right thing to do here. And I just find that if people had put some plan in place or wrote something down, it would make things an awful lot easier for families.
So a simple note, a letter, a conversation.
Yeah. Yeah, and it doesn't take much. It's just it's really the big decision is around burial or cremation, and maybe some choice of music or the venue. Maybe they don't want a traditional funeral. Maybe they don't want a religious funeral. Maybe they just want a civil service or a simple service. And it's just to make somebody aware within the family that this is so important.
Mm-hmm. A listener has been in touch to say that her funeral will be by invitation only.
Yeah.
And how would you know if you weren't given the instructions?
Yeah, that's true. I mean, if that wasn't discussed with a family member. I mean, I did a funeral recently whereby this lady, herself and her sister went, they got their hair done every Friday morning, they had their chats, and the lady told her sister that she definitely wanted to be cremated. But when I met the family, they said no, it was burial. And I meet this lady occasionally and she still brings it back up with me. I know my sister wanted to be cremated.
Mm-hmm.
And it can have a terrible effect afterwards.
I think that's very true, Mary. Yeah. I agree. I agree with everything you've said so far, that you're absolutely right, that at a point of bereavement, it's very difficult for people to think creatively, to ask difficult questions. You know, it's an exhausting and confusing and overwhelming time, and it's so important to have these conversations ahead of time. And the other thing, that retrospective remorse that you're mentioning, you know, that we come across so often, where, you know, I've had somebody say to me, oh, my mum wanted to go up and touch the coffin at the end of the service. She didn't know if she was allowed to, so she didn't do it. And then it's all she talks about is, I didn't go and say goodbye properly to your dad, you know. And so if something is, you know, not right for that person in the funeral setting, that's what they will remember. They won't remember the things that went well. They will remember that I didn't go and say goodbye properly. So,
yeah, you know, I just wonder, given, Kate, where you are and where we are and the people that Mary is dealing with, Mary, do you find that people are reluctant here to talk about planning or when it comes to death and funerals?
It's not so much that they're reluctant to talk about planning, Claire. I find the reluctance is with families in opening the discussion and discussing it. I find that I meet families, or I meet a couple maybe that comes in to do a pre-arrangement, and they say, oh, now we have to go home and talk to the children, and the children don't want to hear this. And I would advise, if a person brings it up at whatever stage, open the discussion, open the chat line, let people talk freely about what they feel they might want. When people get to a certain age and stage in life, they worry about their end-of-life arrangements. They worry about their funerals. Let it be whether it's a burial or cremation situation, or whether it's a financial situation, or, you know, they have little worries. And it's very important to hear those out, discuss them, and get a feel for what they really want.
I'm sure, Mary, though, you do have people who come to you and will say, I want to start paying for my funeral now so that it's not a burden for my family when I'm gone.
Yes, yes. And that can be a big concern, because when they're at a certain stage in life, they have children with large mortgages and maybe kids in college or whatever. So they're in a position now where they can put a few bob by or start paying into a plan. Or now, people, prepayment is as old as the hills. I mean, people always gave a few bob to the funeral director or the undertaker to put by, to have there for when the funeral happened. But people are, it's more structured now. People are coming, they're getting a cost for their funeral, and whether they're doing a prepaid plan with their funeral director or going to their credit union or on post and lodging that money there, so that it's there, and they have the peace of mind of knowing that that funds are there for
it's,
when it's
looked
needed.
After.
Yeah,
Kate, I know you help people as well through the Coffin Club to pick a coffin, and people are opting for very simple options now, like the flat pack coffin.
Yeah, I mean, we have that as an option, that you can decorate your own coffin. I mean, it's better for people who actually are terminally ill, because obviously, as Mary will know, if you don't know the circumstances of your death, you don't necessarily know, A, that you're going to fit in that coffin, or B, that you'll even need one. You know, if you die in an enormous gas explosion and there's nothing left of you, you're not going to need a coffin. And the other thing is, people sometimes come to Coffin Club thinking they want a coffin, then they realise they could have a shroud, or they could leave their body to medical science and therefore not need a coffin. So there's lots of, you know, reasons why you might not need a coffin. But if you've decided you do want one, you can come and decorate one of our flat pack coffins, which then at a point of need are put together with an Allen key. But in the meantime, you can keep them stored under your sofa, you know, under the bed, wherever you like, until you...
I'm not sure I'd be delighted now if I had to look at my flat pack coffin every day in my house.
Well, I'm not sure if I'd be delighted if I had to transport it, wondering, was it safely put together?
Oh, they're very sturdy, very, very sturdy. Nice solid bottoms, Mary, you'll be pleased to hear.
You definitely, you'd need that, wouldn't you? And funerals are quite different where you are, and, you know, the wake is probably not a tradition that you see very often, Kate. What do you think of that tradition? Do you think that it is healthy and helpful?
Oh, I think the Irish way of doing death is probably much better than the English way. I've just watched The Funeral Director on Netflix, which is a funeral director in Sligo.
Yes.
So I was having a little look at that. And when I spoke to your researcher before doing this programme, she couldn't believe that here we just, you know, it's not commonplace that people go and hang out with their dead person. You know, and she couldn't believe that. And I was like, yeah, actually, you know, here it's the other way around. People are really shocked at, you know, Irish people all gather around and hang out with the dead person. I think it's a much healthier way of, you know, being, that, you know, you have that chance to say goodbye properly, that you're actually acknowledging that this person is actually dead. You know, I watch people who, the person they love has died, then been taken away, and then the next time they see them, they're coming out of a hearse in a box. And I can see them really recoil. You know, that's really, really traumatic for them. So I think actually the way you guys do it is much better.
Mm-hmm. That's David McGowan, the funeral director documentary you were talking about there. Kate, Mary, are we still doing the wake to the extent that we used to do it in this country?
Yes, we are. Yeah, I think we do funerals very well here in Ireland, and we also embrace the saying goodbye to our loved one, and by doing that, whether it be in the family home or in funeral home surroundings, we are very, very good at being there, supporting the family and saying goodbye to a loved one or a friend. And I think it's very, very important. And it really helps families get through those few days, and they feel the support of family and friends around them. And it helps them with their grieving process afterwards. I think it's a very important part.
Have you, Mary, planned your own funeral?
I haven't actually planned my own funeral, but I know I am going to be buried and I know where I'm going to be buried. I'm going back to the west of Ireland to be buried. Yes, definitely.
Has your profession changed your view of death, would you say?
Yes, it has. I have the most amazing job. I love my work. I get such great peace of mind and satisfaction over helping people through the worst days of their lives. And it has made me realise how valuable life is and how important it is to live every day. And I just feel that when the time comes, I'll be well ready to go, and that I don't fear anything. There's nothing to fear, and I know where I'm going.
And is it not incredibly sad at times what you do?
It is. It's very sad. We deal with horrific situations. We can deal with beautiful situations. And we can deal with situations that you think could never happen to a family. But at the same time, you're helping those people to get through that. Mm-hmm. And there's a great reward in that.
Yeah.
There really is.
Mm-hmm. And you're providing part of the comfort where it can be found.
Yeah.
Kate, have you planned your own funeral?
Do you know, I keep changing my mind because I do lots of alternative funerals, which is, you know, something I was just going to add to what Mary said, that actually that, you know, satisfaction of supporting people. But the way that I work, because there's lots of alternative funerals and families are often doing quite a lot of it themselves. Mm-hmm. And I find it absolutely incredible, this sort of labour of love, when people organise a send-off that is absolutely perfect for the person who's just died. I literally just did an end-of-life celebration in a car showroom on a Sunday because the guy, that was their family business that, you know, his dad had set up, and then he took it to new kind of better levels. And so it was the only place they could think to hold it that would be right for him, was in this car showroom. And his wife had, you know, organized it down to the last detail. And I think that really, really was important for her, that this she did this last thing for him.
Well, it's just fascinating to hear that, you know, people are spending time thinking about this, and it does make you think how important it is to remove that burden from your family when our own time comes. Kate Timm is co-founder of the Coffin Club and Mary Cunniff, funeral director. Thank you both very much indeed for being with us. Back after this.
Thank you, Claire.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.